couple of weeks ago, we had a lesson that talked about sin, considering the sin that Moses committed at the waters of Meribah. We talked about how sin is something that is common to all of mankind, and we talked a little bit about how that sin of Moses gives us some example regarding how sin can happen and come in our life. Last week, the title of our lesson was, Is There Hope for Me? And the focus of that lesson was, is there a way that someone like me, someone who is prone to sin, someone who struggles, someone who has problems and difficulties, can actually get to heaven? And certainly we saw that there is. There is hope for me. This morning we want to kind of, I guess, continue that idea or expand on that idea with reminding us of the assurance that we have that we are saved. We can have confidence. And I recognize the title of the lesson matches very closely a title of a song in our books. It doesn't really follow the song, but kind of the same idea maybe. But when I started studying this and preparing for this, that's the phrase that just kept coming up in my mind over and over. Blessed assurance. We are blessed with assurance. As John wrote in the latter part of his gospel, or his epistle that we read just a moment ago, he wrote that epistle so that those who have given themselves to the Lord can know that they have eternal life. That's assurance. John writes to give assurance to Christians. In fact, if you look at the epistle of John, just happened upon noticing this as I was going through reading and kept seeing the word know over and over. K-N-O-W, not the N-O, but K-N-O-W, knowledge of. And almost 30% of the verses in the last four chapters of 1 John contain that word. There's only about 105 or so, actually only about 95 verses in the last four chapters of the book of 1 John. And 29 or 30 of them use the word know. And most of that is emphasizing the kind of knowledge that John talks about there in 1 John 5 and verse 13, that we can know what God has prepared for. We can know about God. We can know about His Word. And many of them even speak of how we can have confidence in our salvation because of how we conduct ourselves, because of our own actions. This epistle is one that should give us great assurance, and that's why it was written. The brethren were being besieged by those who were telling them that they needed to do something different. They needed to live different. They were being besieged by those that we might today call agnostic to some degree. They believed there was a God, but they weren't so sure about what was going on. They were being besieged by those who believed that we could separate the actions of the body from the thoughts and intents of the soul. The Gnostics, who felt that soul and body were actually separate and what the body did didn't affect the soul. But John writes to them to give them assurance, both in God's Word and in how their actions can assure. And the first chapter, the first 10 verses of that book, and I know there weren't verses when it was written, but the first 10 verses of that book tell us how we can have that assurance. And that's where we want to kind of concentrate our efforts this morning, as we consider this idea that we have assurance and confidence. We can be blessed with the assurance of our salvation. And it begins with our faith in Christ. In Jesus as the Christ, more specifically. And John makes it very clear. In no uncertain terms, John lets his readers know that the testimony they have heard about the Christ is certain. In the first verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John says, I'm writing to you about someone that I have personally experienced in every means that I can. Eye, ear, and hand witness. You don't get much better witness than that. You don't have to watch too many episodes of Perry Mason to find out that that's what the courts are looking for, is verification. Not just from one single witness, but from multiple witnesses. With that kind of an experience. Jesus, when He appeared to the apostles after He had been resurrected and gone to the Father, and came back to earth and was seen multiple times, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus told them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. He looked out and he saw there was doubt among the apostles. And he said, reach out and touch me and know for certain that I am the one that you followed and listened to for 3 years. Know that this is not some kind of ghost or spirit. It is me. I myself stand before you. He wanted to make certain the apostles were sure. And they were. John could speak as authenticated as Peter could. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And I urge you to continue reading at least through verse 21. We didn't follow myths. We were there. And it wasn't just the 12 or the 11. Judas had hanged himself by this time. It wasn't just those 11. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 5, Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Not just 500 brothers at random places and times, but a group of 500 brothers, actually more than 500 brothers at once. And notice what Paul says next. Most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Do you get the import of what Paul is saying there? If you don't believe my testimony, go talk to one of these 500 brethren who saw Him. They're still there. Go ask them. As many as 500 individuals witnessed our Savior after His resurrection. We can be pretty certain. I don't know of any Perry Mason mystery that was solved with 500 witnesses. Most of it's two or three. The apostles didn't deliver by hearsay. It wasn't tradition. It wasn't conjecture. It was through the testimony of eye, ear, and hand witnesses that we learned of Jesus. That's how John starts this letter, this epistle, to give assurance to the brethren that they are saved. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Or some render that so that your joy may be complete. I kind of like our because that includes John in it as well. That to me says, John telling these people, I'm writing to you so you can rejoice that you are saved. John says you can be assured of your salvation. It begins by our faith in Christ, and we have a sure testimony that Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There should be no doubt in the reasonable mind. But it doesn't stop with just that faith. Our assurance is entirely dependent upon such faith. But our assurance also depends upon our relationship. I'll use that word because it includes a lot of the things that we're talking about. Being a part of, fellowship with. In fact, that's kind of the term that John uses here in 1 John chapter 1, is fellowship, association with, camaraderie is the idea. The message from Jesus that John delivers is that God is light. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we turn back to the book of John, the gospel that John wrote, and begin reading in verse 4 of that first chapter, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That Him there is the Word that was in creation and by which all things were made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now, this John that's mentioned here is not John the Apostle. It is John the Immerser, or John the Baptist, as we've heard him all our life, who came to prepare the way for our Lord. And he witnessed that Jesus was that light. God is the source of all light, both physical and spiritual. Go back and read in Genesis chapter 1. That very first couple of verses. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God is the source of all light. God is light. And there is no darkness in Him at all. Somebody's saying, well, wait a minute, preacher. You said we were talking about a relationship. Yeah, if you want to be in a relationship with God, you have to be light yourself. You have to be in the light. Paul, writing to the Colossian brethren in chapter 1 and verse 12, says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We need to be light. We need to be light so that we can be with God. Because that darkness that's made mention of, that's Satan. That's his angels and followers. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Satan and his minions are the darkness, and they have no part with God. In fact, Paul went so far as to say, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's how we are inheritance of the saints in light. We've been delivered from the darkness and now live in the kingdom of His Son, in the light of God. There is no mixture of light and darkness with God. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when we do that, we have fellowship with God. We need a relationship with God. If we want the assurance that John tells us we can have, we have to walk in the light. Because that's where God is. If we're walking in darkness, we are not with God. We're with Satan. I don't care how you got to the darkness. It doesn't really matter how long you're in the darkness. As long as you're in the darkness, you're not with God. And darkness in Scripture is associated with Satan, sin, lawlessness. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to be in fellowship with Him by walking with Him. And we need to understand that it is a continuous walk. It is a faithfulness. It is a continuous way of life. A dedication and a dependence on Christ and God. If we want assurance, we have to depend on God. We have to watch how we walk. We have to be careful how we conduct ourselves each and every day. Not just now, but from now until the end of time. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I think sometimes we may need to recognize that a part of that idea is actually not just that there is a light to my path, but is the path of light. Or is the path that is illuminated by God. Maybe another way to think about that. Jesus told His listeners, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life." We understand that concept. If we're walking out somewhere at night and I say, "I have the flashlight," whoever walks with me will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the flashlight to guide them. Every single one of us understands what I'm saying. Depending on what crowd I said that to, there might be a few folks who are saying, "I hope He don't turn the light out on me. Because then I would be in darkness." That's what Jesus says. As long as we walk the path with Him, and let me reiterate, as long as we walk the path with Him, we're walking in the light. When we start walking the path of the world, we start walking the path of our friends, we start walking the path of our government, we start walking the path of our favorite TV show, we start walking the path of our favorite author or our favorite sports star. I could go on and on if I could think of more. We're not walking with Christ anymore. We have to walk His path. That's why we say it is dedication. It is dependence. That's what we're talking about when we use that word faithfulness. Remaining in. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And notice that fellowship with one another is not just fellowship with those who are walking in the light, but fellowship with the light itself. When we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That gives us assurance. But assurance is lost in darkness. And we need to constantly be on guard against that darkness. And one of the ways that we can be caught up in that darkness is failing to admit or understand that we can fail. I suspect that sometime or another, every single one of us has been walking around, even with light, and tripped on something and fell. Some of us can fall without tripping. And we tripped and fell not because something was put in our way that wasn't there before, but just because we weren't watching closely where we were going. That's what John is talking about when he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we don't admit to our, I don't want to use the word propensity, but that's a big word, the likeness of our committing sin. Likeliness. If we don't understand that there's a high probability that we may make a mistake, we're deceiving ourselves. And we don't understand the truth. Because the truth tells us we may fail. So we have to constantly be on guard. There's that idea of dedication again. There's the pull of the dependence. Without truth, we remain soiled. And if we say we don't have sin, we don't have the truth, and we're going to remain in sin. Acknowledging our sinfulness or our likelihood of committing sin will encourage our dependence on Jesus. It'll push us to be closer to Him. Just like a little child when they're walking along with their father or their mother somewhere, they stumble and fall, and then they get up, "Daddy, hold my hand." Or we reach down and say, "Hold my hand, sweetie." That's what Jesus says to us. Hold my hand. So that when you stumble next time, I can catch you before you fall and bust your knee. If we confess our sins, if we acknowledge that we do sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I have sinned," He forgives us and cleanses us as if it had never been. We need to honestly admit our weakness toward sin. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Have you noticed those instances? If we're not in the light, we don't have the cleansing blood of Christ. If we don't acknowledge that we sin, we don't have the truth in us. If we're not willing to confess our sins, His word is not in us. We have to confess our sin to God. Not just our sins after they've been committed, but we need to acknowledge the likelihood that we will sin. Somebody says, "Well, now, wait a minute, preacher, I thought you were giving me assurance." I am. That's exactly what John is doing. John says, if you believe in Jesus enough to develop a relationship with Him and live in the light of God, and let your entire life depend upon Him and go to Him acknowledging your wrongs so that they can be set right, you can have assurance of salvation. If not, you're lost. Or as Paul told the Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You want assurance that you are saved? Then put your trust and hope completely in Jesus. If I walk in the light, I am saved through Christ. Christ. My little children, John says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. If we will walk in the light and put our trust and hope in the Lord, if we will depend upon Him, we can know that we will be saved. That's what John tells us. He reiterates that over and over again in the book of 1 John, reminding his listeners that they know these things. They have been taught these things. But they need to live these things so that they can have the assurance that they hope for. Our assurance doesn't come by keeping our minds perfectly pure no matter what our bodies do. Our assurance doesn't come because we're able to live without any sin. Our assurance comes by recognizing our dependence upon God and doing everything we possibly can to make certain that we are walking in the light. That gives us assurance. And that assurance is not of a good life here on earth. That's not an assurance of everything going well every day. In fact, in some ways, it's an assurance that things are going to go wrong. It's an assurance that when we finish this life, we can be with God for eternity. And brethren, I would rather have assurance of that than of anything in this world. And I hope you do as well. Do you have that assurance? Have you put your trust and your faith in the Lord by submitting to His every word in every part of your life? Baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you might be buried with Christ and rise with Him a new creature. Are you now living faithful to Him, walking in the light, adjusting your path so that it matches His, and reaching for His hand to help you when things get tough? If you find you failed, crying out to Him with confession and repentance will correct that. You won't even have a scar left from the scuffed knee. It'll just be gone. And if we can assist in that, time and opportunity is yours. Come on, we stand and sing for your encouragement.